Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Film and Podcast, here today to bring you another Rich Pickings. Before I get stuck into that, I'm hoping everyone's well. I'm hoping everyone's staying safe out there. Things have changed so much just within the last week, the last 3 weeks since lockdown. And yeah, it's crazy out there. And I think it's really important that people just try and remain occupied and doing the things they love to do, taking the time to be with their family and, you know, do jobs around the house, interests, hobbies, whatever you can now find the time to do, then now is the time to do that. It's very difficult. You know, for especially those that are obviously out there on the front line, the NHS, we're all aware of that, and they're doing an amazing job. So if we have any listeners out there that are working for the NHS, then amazing work. I couldn't do it. I'll be the first to admit that. And I think, you know, these are the people now that really are saving lives, and it certainly makes what I'm doing seem insignificant, but I'm hoping at least the things that we enjoy and the things that we like to wind down with comfort us somewhat. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to talk about Harrison Ford today, an actor, movie star, somebody that's really important to me, and an individual who is very much at the forefront of me developing an interest in film. So I'm going to run through 10 of his movies, and I've really focused on the individual performances. And if it happens to be a film which I felt has everything, whether it's the performance and him making that film what it is and owning the character, then it will more than likely be a film that is bumped further up the list. So I'm going to start with an honourable mention, and this is a film that literally just got nudged out, and it's George Lucas's earlier effort, American Graffiti. And I think most of us would agree that if you've seen this film, and it is a brilliant film, by the way, and I personally think it's a lot better than Star Wars. It's a really confident piece of work, and it's a real kind of window into the 1950s youth culture, and, you know, the birth of the teenager and the boy racers, and, you know, it's got all the iconography that we see and that we're very familiar with in the likes of, you know, Back to the Future and Grease. But without a doubt, the minor role that Harrison Ford has in this, and I'm saying minor because the screen time he has is about 5 minutes, but when he pulls up at the lights in this film in his car, with his cowboy hat on and a woman in the passenger seat, and communicates with the main protagonists of this film, that you see a star right there in the making. And I think most people would agree. Even if you watch it today, you think, yeah, you can see that Harrison Ford was going to have a future. Now, it was stalled somewhat, because I know he kind of, you know, he was having bit parts in television, and it wasn't until, obviously, you know, 3 or 4 years later, he lands, you know, the role of Han Solo, and that catapults him. But I do think that role in particular is a standout moment in his career, and it's, you know, certainly an important moment. So if you haven't seen American Graffiti, then check it out. It's, you know, very much it's kind of a model for what Happy Days became, but it Happy Days turned it into a sitcom. It became that same sort of model, and Happy Days was a lot lighter, obviously, but you can see so many links to it. Obviously, Ron Howard being a character in it. But, you know, the Fonz and all of these characters, they're there. And they're stereotypes, of course, but you can see the links, that you can see the connections. So definitely check it out. So straight into the list. Number 10. I'm going to go with the 1988 film. Now, he made two films in 1988. One was Frantic, and that was Roman Polanski. And the next one is my number 10, which is Working Girl. Now, Working Girl was his first collaboration, if I recall, with Mike Nichols. So Mike Nichols, Graduate fame. And I love this film. It's just a really good little romantic comedy, or a romantic story. And there's elements in there which are very funny. It's heartwarming. The characters are brilliant. Everybody's firing on all cylinders, whether it's Melanie Griffith, Sigourney Weaver, Harrison Ford himself, even, you know, Alec Baldwin, you know, who has a fairly minor part, but again, he kind of stands out. Joan Cusack. It's just a brilliant cast. Great soundtrack from Carly Simon. And it's just a really good, you know, feel-good movie. And again, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Harrison Ford is, he plays a character called Jack Trainer, and there's a really lovely sequence at the beginning where Melanie Griffith meets him in a bar, and he plays with his persona and who he is, and it sets up, and I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but it sets something up that happens with how she gets a job at a new company. And Sigourney Weaver is amazing in it as well. So this is an interesting film because it doesn't feel like it's a Harrison Ford film. It isn't. It's not a Harrison Ford vehicle at all. He really is kind of taking more of a supportive role here. And it very much is about that trio of Sigourney Weaver, himself, and Melanie Griffith. But, you know, if you want a really good staple film about, you know, strong-minded women at a time where, you know, you're talking the Wall Street era and powerful men and business-minded, it flips that a little bit, and it kind of gives you that perspective, really, from kind of, you know, the archetypal bitch boss and how Melanie Griffith's character kind of starts to sort of, you know, work her way up within the company and kind of prove herself. I love it. It's a great film. And again, if I want a light-hearted film to watch, especially during times like this, I would go to something like Working Girl. Number 9, complete contrast, and spoiler alert as well. If you've not seen What Lies Beneath, skip forward about 5 minutes and come back to this when you've seen it. I think What Lies Beneath is an excellent thriller. It's a supernatural thriller. It's very much a homage to Hitchcock. And I think Robert Zemeckis is very conscious throughout in creating, you know, the perfect MacGuffin story. There are some really effective moments in this film. And I find that every time I watch this film, you will see something new. You'll see something else. It always rewards every time you watch it, whether that's in the subtlety of the ghosts that you see, or ghost, whether it is in the way that the characters interact. But the thing that really works about this is absolutely the casting of Harrison Ford. And as I said, spoiler, switch off or skip forward now if you don't want to hear this. Harrison Ford's role in this film is fairly ambiguous. So you're a little bit, you know, you're a bit uncertain about him, but you don't want to believe that he could potentially be the bad guy. And I think that is something that really, really adds weight to this film. The end sequence, the final act, is brilliant. It's pure Hitchcock, and some of the camera work as well is amazing. The way it kind of works its way around Michelle Pfeiffer escaping the house and the camera pulling in and out of the car, you know, and you're thinking, you know, has he survived? Is he still alive? Right up to the final moment of when the ghost is revealed. And although you've seen hints of it up to that point, it's the reveal of what happens towards the end and in Harrison Ford's character's demise. His name in this film as well is Norman Spencer, and that to me is just it's one part it's on the nose, Norman, and the whole Hitchcock vibe again, but it also feels, you know, the most normal name you could give Harrison Ford in some of the characters he plays. And, you know, essentially that's what epitomizes a lot of Harrison Ford's roles. He plays the everyman so well, I think, and it always makes him extremely human in the characters he chooses. But in this instance, there is something that is, yeah, very off kilter and works to the film's strength. So I think it gets criticised, What Lies Beneath, but personally, I think it's a brilliant little supernatural thriller. And if I'm honest, I think it's probably his last really, really good film. Probably say Force Awakens at a push, which I enjoyed. And I thought, again, they used Han Solo in the right way in that film, especially for the pivotal scene towards the end. So, number eight, I'm going to go for Deckard in Blade Runner 2049. Now, as most of you are aware, I absolutely adore Blade Runner. It's a film obsession of mine, and it's certainly one of my holy trinity. Blade Runner, Jaws, The Thing are three films that, if I had a gun to my head, I would find it extremely difficult to choose between those three. But, you know, they each have a shrine in this house. They each have a multitude of things that I've bought and are obsessed with. But I think Blade Runner 2049, as a film, is almost unprecedented in delivering a sequel to a film which is so highly regarded as Blade Runner, the original from 1982. And Denis Villeneuve, in my eyes, cannot put a foot wrong. He hasn't made a bad film yet. Amazing. And to see Harrison Ford's character come back in the sequel is brilliantly handled. Now, I can imagine some people going into it were craving more of Deckard. I didn't mind how it was handled, because to me, Deckard is only a small part of what Blade Runner is about. And for me, it's all about the scene where he meets Wallace. And Wallace, who is this megalomaniac, blind architect of the next evolution of the Nexus series, meets Deckard, or he captures him. And before he presents his prize to him, he discusses about who he is and where he should be and fate and whether his original meeting with Rachel was orchestrated in some way. And it's without a doubt one of the best performances I've seen from Harrison Ford, certainly within the last 25 years. And this moment in particular, especially where he responds with, "I know what's real," is so heartfelt. And you see Deckard just being taken apart, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And then it moves on to the reveal of Rachel, or the copy of Rachel. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you've not seen Blade Runner 2049. And it follows on from that, and then there's this other moment where he's really wrestling with, you know, seeing his love again for the first time in, you know, over 30 years. And yeah, it's really touching, and you can see Harrison Ford just completely crumbling. And he responds by, you know, looking her in the eye and then sort of glancing over to Wallace and saying her eyes were green. And at that moment, things start, you know, they become very dark. But that, just for that moment alone, absolutely number eight, Blade Runner 2049. Yeah, Deckard's performance there, phenomenal. And a beautiful scene as well. Cinematography is just, it's outstanding. And it absolutely is one of the greatest sequels ever made. I might be biased there, but it is a stunning movie. So my next choice for number seven is Jack Ryan in Patriot Games. I love Patriot Games. I'm not so keen on Clear and Present Danger. It's still good. It's a good watch. But I think by that point, I think the run, there was at least a 15-year run, I would say, from about Empire Strikes Back up to about the mid-90s, where Harrison Ford was just on top of his game, and he didn't falter at all. You know, it was just one film after the next, which were brilliant, all brilliant. And how, you know, how you would choose from any of these, it's personal taste. But Patriot Games, I have a little bit of an affinity with that in terms of maybe the time I was watching it, and maybe sort of adolescence and seeing him in more mature roles. I have to add that, you know, even when I watched Blade Runner when I was a teenager, I wasn't mature enough to handle that. I was expecting another Han Solo, another Indiana Jones, and the slow pace of it, you know, it really didn't connect with me until I started to grow up a bit more and kind of understand, you know, cinema and science fiction. But yeah, his performance of Jack Ryan is great. And, you know, obviously he's kind of taken over the role from Alec Baldwin. There's another connection to Alec Baldwin again there from The Hunt for Red October. And it's a different performance. You know, Harrison Ford brings, again, the whole working man, family man aspect to it that you always buy into, I think, with Harrison Ford. And that, I feel he sells really, really well. You know, he's unbelievably charismatic and charming, but at the same time, you would believe, or you'd accept that, you know, he is your dad. You know, he's your father, he's your grandfather, he's a family member. You know, yes, he's one of the highest paid actors of all time, but he, you know, there's this kind of sardonic attitude he has, and this kind of wryness, and you know, some people they say, you know, he was very serious in interviews, but, you know, I think in time, as he's got older, he has a really good sense of humor that I like there. I think back then, when you look at Patriot Games, this is kind of coming from that era where, you know, he's taking on those more serious roles and trying to distance himself from characters he's so synonymous with, and sort of opening up his roles a little bit more. And I think Patriot Games was a really good example of this. Harrison Ford versus the IRA, what more do you need? And it's one of the many great Sean Bean deaths as well. Great film, great family watch as well. I mean, it's got an edge to it, but I think even if your kids are at an age where you feel they can handle something like this, I absolutely would watch Patriot Games with my family. I just think it's a great thriller, and still holds up now, I think. So number six is a film which I think doesn't get enough praise. It's not everyone's cup of tea. It's extremely downbeat, and I would say some people may say it's melodramatic, but it's a Mike Nichols film again. So this is his second film with Mike Nichols, and it's from 1991, and it's Regarding Henry. If you've not seen Regarding Henry, it's not really a spoiler, because what happens is it's on the blurb anyway. Even if you picked up the film or what, you know, read the blurb on streaming services, it will pretty much summarize that. It is about a bad man learning to be good. So, you know, he plays a sharkish lawyer who doesn't really have any time for his family, and he one evening goes out to get a packet of cigarettes from the local off-licence, and when he walks in, the place is being held up. And in a scene which is fairly traumatic, actually, you don't see a great deal, but it's the way he acts it and the way it's directed that is fairly uncomfortable to watch, I think. But it's the only violent moment in the film. The rest of it is about rebuilding his life. But essentially what happens is he's shot in the head. And it's not a gruesome, you know, he loses half his face scenario. It's the quietness of it. And it's how the bullet lodges in his head, and then what he does and how he responds to that is, yeah, quite disturbing. But it's a brilliant little film. It's actually written by J.J. Abrams. It's a very, very early screenplay of his. And if you look closely as well, J.J. Abrams actually has a cameo in it. I won't say where, but check out the film. It's a beautiful little film, and it's lovely to see the relationship and the love grow again between Harrison Ford and his wife, played by Annette Bening. Wonderful, wonderful film, and it's life affirming. And you know, you'll watch it and you'll think, yeah, you know, this is how to be. This is how you should be. Learn to be kind. Learn to, you know, spend that time with family. I think if you watched it today, you'd probably think, yeah, do you know what? This is what it's all about. So I can't recommend that highly enough. That's my number six, Regarding Henry, from Mike Nichols. It's excellent. Number five. This may shock people. I'm going to go straight in there with Blade Runner. And the reason this isn't my number one film is that I've never really seen this as a... Yeah, of course it's a Harrison Ford film. But let's be honest, yeah, Rutger Hauer makes this film just as much as Harrison Ford, if not more so. You know, the character of Roy Batty, his arc, what happens there is so compelling. And I think because of the film, you know, being such this behemoth of sci-fi, and such an important movie as well, and you know, Ridley Scott film, and you know, the set design, how influential it is, Harrison Ford is only part of the whole. I feel that with Star Wars as well. It's not, you know, they're not Harrison Ford films to me. Or, you know, although the role he plays is brilliant, it's not even my favourite role that he plays. And I find that very easy to make a decision on. Even though I would put Blade Runner way above the films that come before this as a film, as a Harrison Ford film, as the performance, it rests in the middle for me. I don't need to say much more about Blade Runner. People hear about this film from me most of the time, and they see my love of it as well. But it is an absolute masterpiece, and in my opinion, a perfect movie. It has everything. And what I mean by everything is that if I was to deliver a lecture on it, which I've done time and time again over the last 15 years, I know that I can sit there for half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours if I need to, and take the film apart, but use it to discuss architecture, discuss product design, graphic design, filmmaking, fashion, psychology, religion, you name it, is in this film. Harrison Ford is only a small part of that film. Great role, but not a Harrison Ford film for me. Yeah, it's everything else that comes with it. So that's number five. Number four is Peter Weir's Witness. This is the first film with Peter Weir. He went on to make a film directly afterwards called Mosquito Coast, which is Harrison Ford's favourite film. And Mosquito Coast is great. It's, if you want downbeat, whoa, that's downbeat. Very, very sad ending. But if you love, you know, again, the everyman, his family, and building something, and, you know, literally building a community in the middle of a forest, that's the film that you should be watching. Witness, police procedural thriller, all about a little Amish boy who witnesses a murder while he's waiting in a, I think, a train station, if I recall. It's a long time since I've seen it, but it always sticks with me. But he witnesses a murder when he goes to, he literally nips to go to the toilet, and he sees something he shouldn't. Harrison Ford turns up as one of the detectives and is pulled into, I don't want to say too much about it because of what happens with the murder and what it's linked to, but as Harrison Ford starts to investigate the murder, he's actually putting his own life on the line, and he is mortally wounded. And in order to protect Harrison Ford, he is taken back to the Amish community and starts to understand and become part of what they're about. And it's just a brilliant observation of the way different communities live, and a beautiful relationship that forges as well between him and Kelly McGillis's character as well. It's just brilliant. It's got one of the best child performances as well in there by Lucas Huss. And I would watch it again. I'd watch it tonight. But I'm probably going to pick another one from this list tonight to watch with the family. But if you've not seen Witness, absolutely check it out. Keep an eye out for a very, very early appearance by Viggo Mortensen as well. Number three. I absolutely love this film. And we've watched this quite a lot recently, actually, because my daughter is really starting to get into thrillers. She loves thrillers, and there's some moments in this film, and at the end of the day, it is a 15, and I think it's going to be up to you whether you know, depending on how old your child is and what they're able to cope with, there are absolutely moments in this film which, yeah, even I think it's a little bit too intense, especially towards the beginning. But if you feel that you can watch it together as a family in the safety of your own home, I think The Fugitive is one of the best thrillers ever made, I would say. And clearly by my list at number three is one of the best Harrison Ford performances, one of the best Harrison Ford films. And what a brilliant duo as well up there with Tommy Lee Jones, who again is firing on all cylinders, and if I recall won an Oscar for best supporting actor. So 1994, if I recall, was by Andrew Davis, and there's just some amazing set pieces in there. The crash with the bus at the beginning that rolls onto the train line, and as Harrison Ford's trying to escape, is still brilliant, still holds up. Actually injured himself on this film as well, and the parts where he's actually running through the forest, he badly injured his foot, if I recall. He tore a ligament and on the uneven ground, but refused, in pure Harrison Ford fashion, to go to the hospital and get it fixed, because he wanted the limp. He wanted to be able to carry on limping through that film. So it felt like Richard Kimball was, you know, flailing, and, you know, and he was actually injured. So kind of added to the performance a little bit. But I just think it's amazing. You know, and it's got like classic Harrison Ford finger pointing moments of, you know, I did not kill my wife. It's got really typical moments like that that we... If you watch, there's a brilliant thing on YouTube, and all it is Harrison Ford movies edited, taking out moments where he just goes, my wife, my family, over and over again throughout all of his films. It's really, really funny. And there's an iconic moment in The Fugitive that involves that. So yeah, my number three, what a film. Absolutely brilliant. And I personally, I think it's still an underrated film. I think people overlook The Fugitive, that kind of gets lost a little bit in his catalogue. Number two is what I feel is not only a great Star Wars movie, but as I've said countless times, a great film, full stop. I've never been a massive Star Wars obsessive. I've gone through moments of being into it, maybe really into it for short periods, you know, followed some of the buzz of it, but I never grew up with much Star Wars. I was more of a kind of Action Force, or G.I. Joe as it's known in the US. I was more of a collector of those sorts of toys, the odd Transformers toys, but yeah, I was more into army figures and playing out in the garden. Star Wars for me was fleeting, and I think I probably got more into Star Wars later, maybe with the re-release or the release of the Heir to the Empire novels and Dark Empire from Dark Horse Comics, which I still think they are some of, if not the best stories outside of the films. I enjoyed Force Awakens. I thought it was an excellent start to the trilogy. After that, Christ, you know, don't even get me started. But Empire Strikes Back, masterpiece, perfect. Again, Harrison Ford is, you know, it's not a Harrison Ford vehicle. He's one of, you know, the trio of main characters there. But my God, does he stand out in this film? And, you know, we all know the crucial moments with him and Leia, and the scene where he's frozen in carbonite is just amazing. You know, I could still watch Empire Strikes Back on loop. Take or leave any of the others, to be honest. Even the first Star Wars, I think, as a film, as a milestone piece of cinema, without a doubt, one of the most important films ever made. Stepping back from that a little bit, I just, you know, I've, it never grabs me in the same way Empire Strikes Back does. Return of the Jedi, yeah, feels a little bit of a rehash, but has flashes of sequences which I think are fantastic. The final duel in particular, and I think when Yoda passes away, I love those elements of it. Brilliant. And what brilliant mythology Star Wars is as well, and still has heaps of potential if tapped into in the right way. But yeah, I just Han Solo, you know, what a cool character that Harrison Ford defined. You know, this was the role really that catapulted him. And I think what he does with Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back is phenomenal. And you know what? I can completely see where he was coming from in terms of what he felt about the character after that. And you can see it in Return of the Jedi. It feels like he's redundant once he's saved from Jabba the Hutt. Yeah, he feels like he's kind of sleepwalking that film, I think. But Empire Strikes Back, it is absolutely flawless. Talking about flawless, number one is, without a shadow of a doubt, I didn't even need to think about this, it's always, for me, been about Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones is one of the greatest characters put to celluloid. This is the greatest action movie ever made. It has the greatest action sequence ever put to film. I'm on about the truck sequence, by the way. I love that. I can watch that over and over and over. I can watch this film now if I want to and never get bored of it. I can watch it every day and never get bored of it. It reminds me of being a child again. It's very nostalgic, but it's nostalgic for not just my generation, but those filmmakers that made this. You know, that is built on nostalgia. It's built on the old serials from the 30s. And I think George Lucas, in terms of the ideas he has and what he brings to the screen and the people he gets involved as well in these films, it's amazing. Amazing what that man has achieved. And, you know, we all want George Lucas to make another film. I do. Say what you want about the prequels. You know, I've got my opinions about the prequels. But I would still want George Lucas to make a film. And, you know, I can kind of understand why he's not. And I would probably think he feels a little bit betrayed by the fans and what happened there. And, you know, hence wiping his hands of of Star Wars. It felt like the final kind of slap in the face, really. But you know what? At least half that money that he got was put to a really good use. $2 billion of that money was put back into the American education system. So it's a good man there. But yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Spielberg's direction, amazing, just effortless. What can you say about Indiana Jones? He's got everything, you know. He is, you know, he's the professor, he's the educator, but then he also has this kind of side job of, well, put it bluntly, he's a bit of a grave robber, isn't he? You know, like most of these archaeologists that inspired these sorts of characters during the golden age of discovery, and, you know, especially during, you know, the 19-teens or the early 20th century into the 1920s, you know, had a lot of questionable characters there going over to Egypt and bringing back these things to America to inspire the next generation, if you like, and certainly inspire the golden age of Hollywood. You see it everywhere. You see it in the decor. You see it in the design of the buildings and the architecture, and, you know, even something like the Chrysler Building is such a, you know, iconic building that has so many elements of the past, you know, Egyptian influences, but also faces the future as well with the, you know, obviously the automobile manufacturer and, you know, the hubcaps and then the gargoyle elements, the eagle bits that look almost, they look Egyptian, certainly based on that, but they also look futuristic. I think it's amazing what all of that did. And in looking at the character of Indiana Jones, I love how they decided to keep him within the 1930s as well, within that golden era. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful film. Absolutely love it. That's all I have to say. I could do 3 hours on Harrison Ford. I absolutely love the man, and I think it's very clear on what he's like as a person in real life, and I think he brings a lot of himself to the roles, most of the roles. I do think there is, you know, there's some Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones and some Harrison Ford in Han Solo. You know, the guy flies planes, he saves people off mountains in helicopters and all sorts of stories. You know, what a guy. What a guy. So even if I don't return to this is my little celebration of an actor, a movie star, a true movie star, who everyone should be watching the work of. Work your way through these 10 again if you need to, if you've seen every single one, because I think I'm going to make every effort to myself with my family and revisit these. In the meantime, please take care of yourself out there. Stay safe, stay well. Check me out over on Twitter at Rich Pieces. Film and Podcast at Film and Podcast. It's all on Instagram, on Twitter. You can check out the website. That's www.filmandpodcast.wordpress.com. In the meantime, take care, and I'll see you again soon.
That's just a sample of the films to come. You can't please all the people all the time, but we hope we'll please most of you most of the time. Anyway, see you soon.